Today's lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You may be seated.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I hope you got your passport with you today. You got the notice about that? No? Okay. Well, you're going to need something here, I think, some sort of documentation of some kind, because we are about to cross the border. The lights are in sight. If you listen, you can hear the sounds of another country. It's Christmas country, and we're about to get there. Today, of course, is December 22nd. And we all know what's just ahead. Just a couple of more days, the evening of the 24th, this very same sanctuary is going to be filled with more songs, your voices, praising God for the gift of His Son, and the lights that we'll have for our candlelight service, because we crossed the border into Christmas. You know, it's different nowadays than it used to be, right? Probably a lot of you can remember, like I can, growing up, we would sometimes, with my family in our travels, drive different places that would include crossing the border. We would go across maybe into Canada or sometimes into Mexico, and there would be a man or a woman there at the border station, one of those little booths, and they would need to see my mom and dad's driver's license, didn't need a passport. And then they would look back in the car, and there'd be me and my siblings, the four of us, two older brothers, younger sister, and me. They'd look back there, and they'd say, so all of these are your children? Yeah, I was a little bit afraid they were going to say something like, well, you know, all of them but that one, pointing at me. And I'd be stranded in some sort of godforsaken place, like Toronto, you know, and... But they never took advantage of that. They missed their chance, and they would say, yeah, these are ours, and they would wave us on through. And that's about all there was to it. But as you know now, it's a lot different, especially since 9/11. You get to the border, and it's quite a bit more involved with that. You need to show your passport. You need to be ready to kind of go through more of a process than it used to be. And so a lot of you have done that. You've gone from here, maybe across the border into Vancouver, Canada, or something. A lot of you have gone down into Mexico, into other kinds of countries. And if you do that kind of thing, if you've done any kind of international traveling, you'll understand what this message is about today. Because if you think about it, Christmas is a lot like its own country. There's a lot of similarities. Of course, there's no geographic place actually called Christmas that I'm talking about here, but it is like another country in the sense that it's a kind of a special place we go once a year. It has its own unique culture to it. Christmas has its own foods, right? The things that we eat only around Christmas time. I mean, can you say fruitcake? that's only a Christmas thing, and other things like that are traditional foods that each family has. We have our own customs and traditions around Christmas, all the gift giving and the decorating, and of course, Christmas even has its own language. What other time of year do we use words like Yuletide or Noel, right? All these things that are just for Christmas, it is so much like its own country. And so you have arrived here today, nearly to the border. We have been, these last few weeks, these days in December, we have been kind of packing our luggage. We have been getting our paperwork in order. And now in just a short time, we're going to be crossing the border into Christmas country. And it's pretty exciting. There's lots of things worth doing in Christmas country. But we're not quite there yet. And if we're comparing Christmas to another country, then it's important to understand that just like when you do cross a physical border, a political border, that there are things we need to be ready to declare as we cross the borderline. Our church, this is kind of like the customs house now today. And when you arrive here today, just before you get to the border of Christmas, we need to know if you have anything to declare. You know, that part of the going across the border still, that's one of those things that still intimidates me. I don't know about you. I'm not always totally confident that I haven't done something wrong. You know, they've got the form you fill out. You go by the guy. He says, do you have anything to declare? I say, no. Inside, I'm thinking, I don't think so. I don't read that thing really carefully. But I should, right? I had better be sure, because you have to know clearly what is in your baggage as you cross the border, what you are carrying with you. Because if you're not honest, if you're not really aware, if you try to smuggle something into the country without declaring it, you can end up in all kinds of trouble. So let me ask you, what baggage do you have to declare this Christmas? We need to be honest. We just need to be really clear about that. Over the next few days and into next week, many of us, probably most of us, are going to be spending time among family and friends, whether at home, whether here at church, going different places. For some of us, there are loved ones that we're not spending time with this Christmas, maybe for the very first time. And it hurts. It kind of breaks our heart. We're missing someone that we hope to maybe spend a Christmas with in heaven, but they're not here this year. That's something to declare. Maybe some of us are feeling challenged in our relationships with some family member or some old friends that maybe not quite as friendly as they used to be because values have changed, or maybe even faith perspectives have changed. Or perhaps you have a special need of a particular healing, or something that you are in a physical need of. Maybe you you really want a new job. Some of us just want a deeper sense of fulfillment. Some of us are looking for peace near the end of a year that's been a really tough one for us. And still others of us are painfully aware of things we have done or said that have caused others to stumble or caused pain or maybe even done something to hurt a person here at church. And these are all the kinds of things we need to be ready to declare at the border of Christmas. See, there are a variety of needs in this room right now. There's baggage of all kinds. All of our luggage looks a little bit different. Yet, in a way, we're all the same. As we get ready to cross the Christmas border, all of us have things to declare. All of us need to declare that we need We need this Christmas. We need God. We need this baby in this manger. Whatever the problems or worries or sorrows in your life today, we all know that we're not perfect when we need what God is giving us at Christmas, and so we declare that. And that's why out of all the possible places you could be today, you are stopping here first at the border station before you cross into Christmas country. We need to stop here at God's customs house, because the truth is that we have sins to declare. We have needs to declare. And we in turn need to have the good news declared to us. And that's what happened with the shepherds, right? I'm shifting from that Matthew reading to the Luke reading that you're familiar with in Luke 2. Remember the shepherds? The angels didn't hesitate when they appeared before the shepherds that night, but declared God's love and forgiveness with crystal clarity. And they sang out, "Glory to God in the highest." We just sang about that ourselves, didn't we? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom with his favor rests." You see, this declaring business at the Christmas border, this is serious stuff. This is important stuff. It's like the opening verses of Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare," there's that word again, "the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." You see, the glory of God starts with his being our maker, our creator, the source of all life, the source of all love, and God in his glory, in his great, and this great and loving God saw that you and I are not always so great and loving, are not always so lovable. When we come into Christmas country, it's important that we openly and honestly declare these things, because God's law is clear. God's rules state definitively that our sins may not come across the border with us into the place where God is at. And it's no use trying to smuggle them in. You don't want to pretend you have forgotten about them, because God sees it and detects it even better than all the metal detectors and bomb-sniffing dogs at the airport. There is yet no way to get rid of all the sins, faults, foibles, needs that we have. But that's when the angels declare that God, in the glorious light of his love, has the solution for the problem. And that solution comes at Christmas. There Jesus declares the Father's love for you, and the angel tells you, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." It's Christ the Lord. A Savior. That's an important word. A Savior, obviously, is one who saves. When you save someone, it means you rescue them, you liberate them, and that's what Christmas comes down to. Yeah, the lights are pretty, and yeah, the baby is cute, but it's a rescue mission. You know, speaking of getting kind of out of focus sometimes, I recently saw, it was a YouTube video. There was a video clip from a Japanese news station. And they were talking to people as they were Christmas shopping in downtown Tokyo. I don't know if you realize this, but Christmas is a really big deal in Japan. Even though only a small portion of the population is Christian, it's a cultural thing. They're attracted to the spectacle of it, it would seem, with all the lights and decorations and gift giving. And so this Japanese news station was doing some interviews with people on the street as they're shopping in downtown Tokyo. And they asked this one young woman as part of all the others, "So what do you know about Christmas? What's the meaning of Christmas?" She gave a little nervous laugh. She said, "I," in Japanese, she said, I don't know. Is that the day Jesus died? Well, no, it's not. That's called Good Friday, but his birth at Christmas all led to that day he died, right? The birth meant that the eternal Son of God had become human to share our life in order that he would die our death. He died for those times when we know that we are those fallen and imperfect people who need the kind of healing that can only come from outside of ourselves, not within us, but outside of us. And so Jesus died on the cross to connect us once more to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, so that through his death, our sins are forgiven. And we rightly call him exactly what the angels did, Savior. So you put all of this together, and what it means is that we have something even more to declare now. We have something even more to declare now at the Christmas border than just a deep need for God. We prepare to visit the country of Christmas so that we can also declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, maybe you've not gotten to Christmas country this way before. Maybe you've never heard that. Maybe you started down the right road and you got sidetracked along the way. Sometimes we're like that little girl at the mall, or her grandmother took her to the mall to have her picture taken with Santa, you know, the usual kind of thing. And she sat on Santa's knee. She told Santa everything that she wanted for Christmas. And when she was done, Santa gave her a candy cane, told her to be a good girl, and jumped off of Santa's knee. And Grandma said, "Well, now, wait a minute. What do you tell Santa?" And she thought for a second, didn't know right off the top of her head. But then it came to her. She turned back around. She said, "Oh, yeah, charge it." Well, that wasn't what she meant, right? That isn't what the point is. We don't visit Christmas country simply to get gifts and accumulate stuff. Of course, it's true that at Christmas we do get the greatest gift of all, Jesus, our Savior. But if we really see, really hear what is going on at this place called Christmas, we'll have far more to say than just charge it. We'll have God's praises to declare. Again, the shepherds in Luke 2, that's what they did. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had seen and heard. Think about that verse once more. The shepherds returned. They returned to their flocks, returned to their pastures, returned to their neighbors, returned to their families, and we're going to return after Christmas too. We don't stay in Christmas forever. What happens by this time? Maybe in a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is that the last present is unwrapped. Or in January when the decorations have all come down. When we return home, we will also declare God's glory. As individuals, as a church, as both. That's what the shepherds did. Not only did they praise God in Bethlehem, the original Christmas country, but they also kept on praising after they got home. You know, when you visit another place, a foreign country or not, we usually do that. Isn't that just kind of what we do? We post those pictures on Instagram and Facebook, or have them all ready to show you on our phones. We've got little souvenirs that we've bought and can show off because we want to declare what we have seen, what we've experienced, and the joys and everything else. And so as we know that we will soon be returning from Christmas country, how will we do that? How will we return with what we have seen and experience? Maybe by singing songs, maybe by sharing good thoughts. Well, maybe, or maybe even more than that. I mean, what friend or coworker, maybe, or family neighbor would be lifted up by an extra personal phone call or a visit? Who can you invite to sit with you at church on this coming Christmas Eve or in the new year? Who do you know that's a newcomer in your neighborhood or in your apartment complex? Maybe you know somebody who recently lost a job or lost a loved one. They could really use some good news too. They really need to know what's over here in Christmas country. When the Bible talks about declaring glory, the idea is to cause someone to be seen as great. How can you and I do that this Christmas? In ways, whether new or old, that cause God to be seen as great in Christmas country. May God guide our steps as we continue the path to Christmas and then beyond, so that we see and declare the praises of God too.